This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. It's time again for Enterprise Biz Bites. My name is Audrey Raj, and in the studio with me today is Arvind Yuvaraj.
Hello.
It's Friday, April the 7th, 2017. And because it's a Friday, you know we've got some pretty easy, breezy, and crazy stories for you on the show.
Yeah, crazy indeed. And the kind of stories I like, because we've got a story on employees being implanted with microchips, people throwing away money to go to space. But to kick things off, some good news on how to spot fake news, or as they're calling it, now, false news.
Yeah, fake news. Again and again, we've been talking about this since the US presidential election, and now Facebook is combating misinformation with news literacy education in addition to product features.
Yeah, so what they've done is users in 14 countries, including the US, will see an alert above the news feed several times over the next few days that links them to Facebook's help center where they can read tips to spot false news.
Yeah, and note that they are using the term false news and not fake news. Facebook said this is because fake news has taken on a life of its own, and false news is more accurately it more accurately communicates that it's talking about intentionally false content that tries to be confused with legitimate news. After all, our friend the Trump is just labeling any opinions or facts that he disagrees as fake news, or Kellyanne Conway like to call it alternative facts.
Alternative facts, yeah. Anything that they don't like, right?
Yes.
It's always good for initiatives like this. But if it's you on your Facebook timeline, like, would you even care to look up, like, the help center alert? Most likely, we would, like, completely ignore it, right?
Yeah, so we're going to read out the 10 tips for spotting false news here. Firstly, just be skeptical of headlines. It's the first thing you can do. False news stories often have catchy headlines in all caps with exclamation points. So if shocking claims in the headlines sound, you know, unbelievable, they most probably are.
Yeah, but if it's on the internet, it has to be true, isn't it? It has to be right.
Nowadays,
Look closely at the URL is another one. A phony or look-alike URL might be a warning sign of false news. Many false news sites mimic authentic sites, news sources by making small changes to the URL. So like CNN Online or CNN Official, maybe.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's not the actual CNN site. You can go to the site and compare the URL to established sources just to make sure for yourself.
And when you're talking about sources, investigate the source. Ensure that the story is written by a source that you trust with a reputation for accuracy. So if the story comes from an unfamiliar organization, check their About section to learn more about them.
Yeah, and also watch for unusual formatting, because many false news sites have misspellings or awkward layouts.
No, but some look really legitimate. So,
yeah.
You know, I mean, it's good to look at the formatting, but, you know, some will just...
Yeah, but then there's also, I mean, you have to look out for, like, parody sites or spoof sites, like The Onion. A lot of people say that The Onion is a false news site, but it's not. It's satire.
Yes.
So you also have to look out for those kinds of things. Those people are, like, purposely going out to make false stories to parody what's going on in politics and stuff.
Right. Also, consider the photos, because false news stories often contain manipulated images or videos. Sometimes the photo may be authentic, but then, of course, it may be taken out of context. So you can search for the photo or image to verify where it came from.
Yeah, like there's a picture of Donald Trump itself from an interview in 1987, I think, where he says that he's going to run for president one day, and some harsh words, completely fake.
Oh.
Yeah, so that itself is fake, the irony of that picture. Inspect the dates is another one. False news stories may contain timelines that make no sense at all, no surprise there, or event dates that have been altered.
Yeah, check the evidence is the next one. Check the author's sources to confirm that they are accurate. Lack of evidence or reliance on unnamed experts may indicate a false news story.
Yeah, and then look at other reports. If no other news source is reporting the same story, it may indicate that the story is false. If the story is reported by multiple sources that you trust, it's more likely to be true.
Yeah. Is the story a joke? So sometimes false news stories can be hard to distinguish from humor or satire.
Like The Onion,
yeah. So check whether the source is known for parody and whether the story's details and tone suggest it may just be for fun.
Yeah. And then some stories are intentionally false. So think critically about the stories you read and only share news that you know to be credible.
I don't know. Going down this list, right, Arvind, all I'm thinking about, this is a lot of work, you know. I mean, if you see a source and you're reading it and you're wondering, like, is this true? You got to go check the source, you go check the URL, go and check. So
yeah, but then some people, they share things that make, like, you know, stories about some monster that washes up in California, like these weird looking creatures, which is obviously false.
Yeah.
But then it gets perpetuated again and again. So, I mean, you know, sometimes it's good to filter down the weird news also.
Yeah. So yeah. These tips are really helpful and sensible. But the unfortunate fact is that they put a ton of faith in Facebook's 1.8 billion users to exert a lot of cognitive effort to detect false news.
Yeah. Facebook came into this problem because of the poor news literacy, skepticism, and proactive research behavior patterns of the modern news reader. According to studies, more than half of U.S. adults get their news from social media rather than directly from trusted sources.
Mm.
I know some people actually just read the headlines and they go off without actually reading the true story.
Yes.
The majority of students can't reliably distinguish fake news from real news, and 20% of users on social media say that they've changed a social media or political stance because of social media.
Yeah, so that's why it's also tried to make matters, I think that's why they've tried to take matters into their own hands with product changes and other projects, like working with outside fact checkers to label disputed news stories with warnings in Facebook's news feed,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
It's also provided a special option for flagging false news stories, downranked suspicious stories, and they began detecting and blocking false news spammers. They've also denied false news publishers the ability to buy Facebook ads, and funded the $14 million News Integrity Initiative. So Facebook's trying to do a lot to fight these false news stories.
Yeah, and come out of their kind of iffy reputation at the moment.
Mm.
But in the end, it will all fall to users and make up their, you know, who make up their own minds about what's real and what's fake. And it's tough to trust that any list of tips will suddenly make them strong fact checkers.
Yeah, you know what's not a fake story? You know what's real? Even though it sounds like one, I don't know, when I first heard it, I was like, is this for real?
Hmm.
A Swedish startup hub called Epicenter is actually implanting their employees with microchips via injections.
Mm-hmm.
It's invasive. I'm not even kidding here. It's like an episode of Black Mirror or some futuristic movie about a technological dystopia. These employees are actually being injected with microchips the size of rice grains in their hands.
I was kind of shocked when I first read this, but the more I think about it, it's actually pretty cool, because for one, they're making cyborgs, and everyone knows where I stand on that subject. All hail our future robot overlords.
Oh,
and two, the chip is actually meant to make work life easier for these guys. You know, like how we have like swipe cards when we want to get into the office. These chips are used to open doors and operate printers, or, you know, buy smoothies with the wave of a hand. I'm just thinking how cool it is to do like the force movement and open like a door just with the wave of a hand.
Yeah, you won't be buying smoothies for long with, you know, waving your hand like that. I'm giving it 5 years before they start injecting these things into people and start controlling their minds, like the back of the neck or like...
I wouldn't be surprised. But then again, we
temple.
Are... Yeah, we are pretty much controlled by technology already, indirectly. So, you know, these things are bound to happen. Epicenter explains that these implants are supposed to replace a lot of things that you already have, like communication devices or credit cards or even keys.
Mm-hmm.
The tech itself is not new. It's actually the stuff that be put in dogs and cats and, like, you know, virtual collar plates. Like, when you ask if your pet is microchipped, this is it. Like, this is the same thing. Yeah, so some companies use the tech to track deliveries to make sure the package is going where it's supposed to go. And it's just that this is the first time that real people are being tagged on such a broad scale, and now other companies will follow in Epicenter's footsteps.
No, my biggest problem here is that whoever is tagged with this cannot separate themselves, even if they wanted to. It raises a bunch of security and privacy issues. You know how I am with this whole privacy thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Epicenter says that it's biologically safe, but it's also recording all your timestamps and data, and it can be read by third-party devices. It just feels weird walking around with a device that can expose your private information so easily.
Yeah, but then, you know, like, that's the same that happens on your smartphones and your other gadgets as well. You know, like, the data that we put in these devices, in the daily devices, are a lot worse, I think.
But you can always leave that device at home.
Kind of, but we don't leave our smartphones at home.
Well,
it's with us, like, all the time.
If you wanted to...
I think it's the illusion of separation that we have from gadgets, but we need those gadgets. We can't go a day without any, you know, our smartphones, or... Our smartphones especially, I think.
Yeah, point noted.
Yeah, so, you know, those things are a lot more vulnerable to, like, third-party eyes who might want to, you know, get a lifestyle information from us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Plus, people have been using automated machines to keep them alive for a long time, like pacemakers and stuff to control the rhythm of your heart.
True.
So, for me, it's just a matter of getting used to to these kinds of technologies. And I feel like the reason that we're so paranoid, and I am too sometimes, is because of movies and TV and how they have kind of like villainized technology and, you know, that and these things that can be implanted inside of us.
A lot of people seem to be agreeing with your logic over at Epicenter, of course. Mm-hmm. The hub is apparently home to more than 100 companies and has about 2,000 workers, and it began implanting workers in January 2015. Why are we only hearing about this now?
I don't know. I wasn't sure either.
Yeah, so apparently now about 150 workers have them, which isn't a lot, but it's a good start. And apparently everything has been working perfectly so far. That's what they say. Okay. And the implants have become so popular that Epicenter workers stage monthly events where attendees have the option of being chipped for free.
Oh, so like a big rally kind of thing. They even describe how they get the implants. A guy by the name of Johan Osterlund shows up. He calls himself the body hacker. I don't know why he would do that to himself or to the other people. And he brings along these preloaded syringes. He then injects the chip into the fleshy area of the hand right next to the thumb. The process lasts a few seconds. There's barely any pain and maybe like a small drop of blood, and that's it. The body hacker then drops by every now and then to check up on his guinea pigs. I mean employees.
Barely any pain.
Yeah, barely any pain.
See, I'm really just not convinced. Coming back to the issue of security, microbiologist at Stockholm's Karolinska Institute says hackers could conceivably gain huge swathes of information from embedded microchips. They use near-field communication, NFC technology, and when activated by a reader a few centimeters away, a small amount of data flows between the two devices via electromagnetic waves. And the implants are passive, meaning they contain information that other devices can read but cannot read information themselves. So the problem is, this chip is in your body. It's in you, right?
And it stays with you.
Yeah. So it's totally different from our social media accounts, because these chips could potentially start storing data about health, your whereabouts, how often you're working, you know, if you just decided to sleep in, you know, and even if you're taking toilet breaks.
Yeah,
right?
So privacy.
Yeah, you're literally like a walking GPS beacon.
Yeah, so that one I can kind of agree with that part, because I'm all for changing technology, but the ethical dilemmas will become bigger as these microchips become more sophisticated. I mean, if such data is collected, the big question becomes like, you know, what happens to it? Like, who uses it and, you know, for what purpose? So, you know, those are like the big questions that we have to ask.
Exactly. Epicenter's group of cyborgs don't seem to care one bit about this, though.
No.
They say they want to be part of something new and that they love being a part of the future today. You know, I think those microchips are actually working on their brains already, lah.
Brainwashing?
Well, our microchips and cyborg bosses are telling us it's time for a break. Enterprise Biz Bytes will be right back. BFM 89.9.
Buttons for managers. BFM 89.9.
Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Audrey Raj. Avenue Raj is in the studios with me. And since we're on the topic of the future arriving at our doorsteps, all this talk about
microchips,
you know, let's talk about space travel again. Yeah, we seem to like that, right? Now, we were just talking about Amazon's race with Google and Apple to be the first $1 trillion business the other day, and that was a really interesting one. Looks like Amazon is entering itself in more races, as Jeff Bezos, founder of Amazon, is now looking to take the race to space.
Yep, you didn't, that wasn't a mistake. You heard that, right? Jeff Bezos is now financing his mission to send human beings to outer space. On Wednesday, he revealed that he was selling about $1 billion worth of Amazon stocks a year to finance his robot. His rocket company, Blue Origin, it's called. So Blue Origin has previously developed New Shepard, which is a capsule that can carry up to 6 people into the Earth's surface. They have yet to actually send people up in it, but they're looking to add someone next year. But it seems that in the meantime, Bezos is cooking up an ambitious storm over on his side.
That's right. On Wednesday, he made the announcement of his space investment during the 33rd Space Symposium. He revealed a little more on an upcoming project called New Glenn, which will be an even bigger rocket that can carry satellites and eventually even people.
Yeah, so if you read the story, which we will link in our podcast, he did the whole announcement standing in front of a New Shepard booster. It's the very same one that survived the landing when they sent it out to space last year during an escape system test.
Yeah, so now the reason reason why it was such a big deal was because the new Shepherd has had 5 flights so far, and the last one was a test to ensure that the in-flight escape system was functional. It also had a secondary mission to recover the main booster by landing it. So obviously, they succeeded, and it's been their pride and glory since. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing that it is also what made Bezos realize the potential for this and started forking out that $1 billion worth of stocks to, you know, make this happen.
Yeah. I suppose that's what happens when you have your head up in the clouds, you know. So in all seriousness, though, Bezos is going head on with Elon Musk's SpaceX and wants to turn Blue Origin into a commercial and a tourist venture.
Yeah, in fact, he's already got a paying customer, apparently, a satellite company called Eutelsat, whose liftoff will help offset costs. And that costs just only about $2.5 billion.
Mm, nothing much.
Yeah, no big deal for someone.
Easy peasy.
Yeah, someone as loaded as Bezos, easy peasy, right?
Second richest, right? Yeah.
Yes. Mm. They are expecting its maiden voyage to happen in 2020, but we probably won't be seeing people on New Glenn anytime soon.
Yeah, and Bezos also recognizes reusable rocket parts as the key to lowering the price of admission and the field and said that it would lead to a golden age of space exploration. He intends to make access to space low cost, stating that entrepreneurs will be unleashed and that space travel is the key where we will see creativity, dynamism, and he even mentions parallelism to the that's difficult to say to the growth of the internet in the last 20 years.
Yeah, you can imagine what Bezos will be able to do with his influence, you know, having Amazon, which is one of the biggest online marketplaces and databases, all that combined with his goal to foster this new commercial space economy. He expects Blue Origin to be a non-profit not-for-profit, but at the same time, a thriving enterprise that can help a new generation of space entrepreneurs.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see these new startups that are gearing towards space travel and repurposing their business models to, you know, space entrepreneurship, as it's called.
Although he thinks it's totally possible to achieve commercial paying customers by 2018, next year.
That's next year.
He did say that it's a mistake to race to a deadline when you're talking about a flying vehicle, especially one that you're going to put people on. That's good thinking. It does put in perspective on the whole space traveling bandwagon that everyone seems to be jumping on.
Yeah.
All right. Before moving on to our top picks of podcasts for your weekend listening, you know we do that every Friday.
Every Friday, yeah.
Yeah. Here's a quick announcement about an EO Taipan masterclass event that's happening.
Yeah, so here's some info for you to have a better idea of who and what they are. The Entrepreneurs Organization, or EO, is a global peer-to-peer network of more than 12,000 influential business owners with 160 chapters in 50 countries. They were founded in 1987, and EO is the catalyst that enables leading entrepreneurs to learn and grow, leading to greater success in business and beyond.
Yeah, so this is more about the Taipan Masterclass 2017. Mm-hmm. The Masterclass is modeled after one of the world's most outstanding executive strategy and education programs, Birthing of Giants, now known as EMP, the Entrepreneurial Masters Program. It's conducted by EO and MIT Forum in the USA since the year 1992. It's been going on for a bit now.
That's a long time.
Yeah, it consists of a 3-day hands-on workshop, keynotes, and expert panel sessions facilitated by world-class speakers to help executive teams develop ready-to-execute strategic plans with accountability and measuring tools all mapped out for you. So Taipan Masterclass was first launched in 2001 by the Entrepreneurs Organization Malaysia and has been attended by thousands of CEOs and executives throughout the Asia Pacific.
Yeah, so here are some event details. It's happening on the 10th to 12th and from the 10th to the 12th of April. The location would be VE Residence and Hotel in Bangsa South, and 8:30 is when it opens for registration. More information can be found at Eventbrite. Just look for Taipan 2017. The speakers include, on the first day, there's a keynote by the leader called The Leader of the Future by John Spence. Then there's a panel discussion on digital disruption in traditional economies. So Dato' Yasmin Mahmood, who's the CEO of MDEC, will be there. Emmanuel Daniel, who's the chairman of the Asian Banker. And Leon Fung, who's the PM of Uber Malaysia and Thailand will also be there.
There will also be a panel discussion on the funding game. Pramal Vasudevan, CEO of Creador, Mali Ali, Managing Director of BFM.
Our very own.
Yeah. And Ernest Kwong, head in a group of Group SME Banking Alliance Bank. They will all be on that panel on the funding game.
Yeah. And then there's a keynote call, Real-Time Marketing by David Meerman Scott. There's a closing CEO panel discussion on Level Up. Dr. Chang Kim Hua, CEO of EcoWorld, will be there. Peter Bilyeu, CEO of Malaysia Airlines, will be there. Loy Tuan Yee, who's the Managing Director of Holstein Milk Company, will also be on the panel.
Yes, for more information about EO Taipan, visit www.eonetwork.org or just check out www.eventbrite.com and search for Taipan 2017. All right, it's time for a quick breather for us because all that names,
lots of information.
Yes, we'll be right back after this quick song. Eddie Cochran, BFM 89.9.
Building first world mindsets. BFM 89.9.
Yes. All right. So we're back. This is Enterprise Biz Bytes with Arvin and Audrey. Just before we wrap up the show every Friday, you know, we have a quick rundown of the absolutely must listen to podcasts on Enterprise for the week. So here it is.
Yeah. So this week we kicked off, on Monday with a show on the glut of unemployment graduates in the country. This was based on an article that went viral on social media recently, isn't it?
Yeah. So I spoke to Derek Toh from WOB and he had some very strong opinions about why this article was all wrong. Because the article basically said that we had so many unemployed graduates in the country because they had a bad attitude problem, they just couldn't speak English, and they had like unrealistic salary expectations of like 6,000 ringgit plus as a starting salary. So Derek Toh had some comments about that, and you know, he wrote in to us and said like, you know, I really want to address this, and he gave some pretty good advice about how employers can deal with fresh grads and how fresh grads can seem more appealing to potential employers at job interview. So that's one to catch.
Yeah, so I heard it and I think that everyone should check it out. There's a lot in there to learn. Then on Wednesday, Angeline Tay spoke to Samuel Siu, the founder of the Dream Village Football Academy, which runs a football program to connect with children from the marginalized community. Samuel himself had a pretty cool story to share, and what he's doing with these kids is truly commendable. Go listen to that on the podcast. You know, you won't regret it.
Yeah, and finally, the tech maestro himself, Jeff Sandu, recording a show in Las Vegas. How do you top that? And most people say what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. This one actually brought a recorder and recorded everything
and
that happened.
And publicized it.
Yes. So, I mean, I have a problem here. Like, first, he abandons us. You know, the three A's, Angie, Audrey and Arvin, he abandons us to go to Vegas where he was in the same room with people like Will Smith and other celebrities and major CEOs. And then he goes and records a show showing off what his day at IBM's Interconnect 2017 was like. Yes, I'm bitter because tonight he's gone to watch Coldplay in action in Bangkok. But
so
seriously,
from Vegas to Bangkok to watch Coldplay.
And in between, he was in Kuching, you know?
I'm not mad because he got us a lot of good chocolates from London, so I am Team Jeff. Yeah. You know, if he goes on and keeps bringing back these chocolates, I'm okay. I'm way okay with that.
Anyway, his show this morning on IBM Connect, The Journey to Las Vegas, is definitely one to catch if you missed it. Learn about Watson in IBM Cloud and what's next for the future of cloud, also about blockchain and the future of our jobs and how next-gen computing will change the way we live and work. It's a real eye-opener into the future, that one, with an added bonus of coming straight from Vegas.
Remember, all these shows can be found on our website, bfm.my, or better yet, just go download the BFM mobile app from the App Store on Google Play. We promise you, you won't get a better listening experience than with the app, because you can enjoy BFM anytime, any place, even if you're in Vegas.
Yes, and next up, it's the Breakfast Grill replay. The Morning Run had a full house on the grill this morning with Chirat Kutin speaking to Alina Noor, Director of Foreign Policy and Security Studies at ISIS Malaysia, Bun Nagara, Senior Fellow also from ISIS Malaysia, and Dr. Lee Ming Jiang, Associate Professor of the Rajaratnam School of International Studies, or RSIS. And they spoke about the upcoming meet between US President Donald Trump and Chinese Premier Xi Jinping, and what could possibly be on the agenda during that meet, and implications of these issues that they will discuss on the Asia-Pacific region.
Yeah, that's up next at 12:30. Very quickly, Odds, what do you call a computer that sings?
Oh, gosh.
Adele. And that's it for us on Enterprise Biz Bytes today. From Audrey Raj and myself, Arvind Yuvaraj, here's wishing you an exciting weekend ahead. Catch you guys again on Monday. Take it easy, guys. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9. The Business Station